sort of like you have the right kind of meteorological conditions that create a thunderstorm. Again, no big deal because we're used to having thunderstorms. But in this particular case, the thunderstorm converges upon a populated area in such a way that it actually creates these very strong downdrafts, gusts of wind. So in a way, you can kind of imagine like this big thunderstorm developing above you, and all of a sudden it just blowing down and kicking everything on the ground up into the air. So it's like a giant vacuum cleaner in reverse, just blowing everything apart. And then these particles, including pollen grains, are moving up into the atmosphere where they start getting hydrated because of the moist air that's creating the thunderstorm. And as they hydrate with water surrounding the pollen grains, one theory or strong theory is that it explodes. So the thunderstorm pollen becomes these pollen disrupted, ruptured grains of pollen. And that fine ruptured grains of pollen can penetrate, come back down and blanket the city. And basically people breathe that and it's so fine that it just instantly goes deep into your lungs.
Wow.
And instantaneous, which is why as this thunderstorm moved from in Melbourne last year in November, from Geelong to Melbourne, there's an exact trace of ambulance phone calls, hospital phone calls, admissions, ambulance emergency services. So there's even a timeline of those actions, emergency actions being taken as the thunderstorm moved from west toward the eastern part of Melbourne there.
Wow. And just how might, because you hear climate change is resulting in more frequent climate events, whether that be flooding, whether that be fires, whether that be storm conditions, how might something like climate change accentuate what is happening in the asthma thunderstorm?
Right. So I guess thunderstorm asthma is, in essence, it's really a very strong thunderstorm event, which the climate change is predicted to create stronger storms. So it is something worth to look at and consider that maybe the thunderstorm activity may become more prevalent and we have stronger storms. I guess that kind of idea has been kicked around with respect to cyclones, tornadoes in the U.S. states. And it's very possible that there is a link between that and thunderstorms. But in this particular case, it has to be like all the right conditions converge because first, that thunderstorm has to happen right when you're near that pollen peak. So it just so happens that all of southern Australia had a very, very wet spring last year. And it was just completely green. They say it was so green that the farmers and the pastures couldn't even bale up the amount of green grass, that ryegrass that was greening up. They couldn't even get it, you know, bailed up in time because it was so much of it. So having that big storm happening right at the time that you had this very unusual wet spring, I think that kind of created all the bad situations. But it is kind of worrisome because they say that 30% of the people affected by this thunderstorm asthma event never reported any problems with hay fever or asthma in the past.
Right.
So there's a lot of people trying to understand what happened last November.
This symposium that happened over the course of last week, looking at thunderstorm asthma and what eventuated from this event in November, what were the main discussions in terms of remedying this problem or being able to be more equipped if these sorts of events would be more frequent in the future?
Yeah, the primary concern, I guess, would be let's take the expectation that this may happen again. And now get the right infrastructure such that you don't become short in supply of medication, because all of this ran out. All of the chemists were also flooded with people, and they just couldn't distribute anything more because they weren't prepared for such an event. Of course, ambulance services could not keep up with demand. And sort of like the state of Victoria is thinking that their first focus has to be how to prepare their infrastructure needs to handle an emergency. And it doesn't have to be this type of emergency, but maybe any kind of emergency that might develop that would require so much public health intensive action like that. From the science point of view, that's going to be very slow, because the problem is if thunderstorm asthma only occurs infrequently, it's still considered a rare event. Like I said, there's only been 10 reported in Australia. I think there was a big one in 1997 in Wagga Wagga, and Melbourne had the most number. They've had like 5 or 6 in the last 20, 30 years. So it's infrequent, which means it's very hard to develop any kind of predictive models. And it involves not only a predictive model that involves meteorology, which may be hard to pinpoint to an exact day, you know, but the science means even trying to figure out, is it really the ruptured pollen that caused the problem? Is it because the pollen mixed with ozone or some PM10 or some other kind of pollutant or contaminant in the air? We don't know that. So all we could do is hope from the health point of view that there'd be more attention placed trying to diagnose and figure out exactly what happened with this event, which you need before you can try to do something about the next event that will happen.